Scripture reading at this time. Will you please stand for the reading of God's Word? This morning's scripture reading will be taken from the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please be my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that all our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us unto the hand of Midian." And the Lord, turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." You may be seated.
Good morning. It's a wonderful blessing to be able to worship the Lord this morning. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn to Judges chapter 6. Hope that you always bring your Bibles and that you'll open them up and make sure everything we say is according to Scripture and that we can study and learn more from God's Word together. In Judges chapter 6, the Israelites are being oppressed by the Midianites who are regularly coming in and raiding and taking and stealing their possessions. They are oppressing the children of Israel so much so that the children of Israel began to cry out to God. And as the cycle of the book of Judges goes, God had led them into oppression because they were rebelling against Him and had left God. But then God will send a deliverer, a judge, who will help overthrow this invading power. That deliverer is the very famous Gideon, who you probably have studied and know about from other studies. But I want us to focus this morning not on the overall life of Gideon, but just the early beginnings of his story in Judges chapter 6. Because when we find Gideon, we find him hiding in verse number 11. "The angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abrazite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." Gideon was afraid. Physically, he was afraid of the Midianites. Financially, he was afraid of the Midianites, that they were going to steal his harvest. And this harvest was necessary for his financial means, for his own food, for his family's own food, and for providing for his future. And so here he is hiding out in a wine press, doing a job that you would like to do out in the open, threshing grain so that the wind could carry it off. But he's hiding, trying to make sure that the Midianites do not steal his grain. Well, we'll also find out about Gideon. And he's not just hiding physically, but he's also hiding spiritually and emotionally too. He's someone that is wanting to deny his true beliefs about where he is. He's hiding and fearful about what God wants to do with his life. And we're going to find out that Gideon is feeling very fearful and cowardly, that he's angry and he's bitter at his current situation. And so God comes to him through the angel in verse 12. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.'" O mighty man of courage, of strength, of valor. God is with you. But remember I said Gideon is hiding emotionally and spiritually too? Notice how Gideon responds to the angel in verse 13. He said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us." He is someone who feels forsaken by God. "He has given us into the hand of the Midianites." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." And he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I will stay till you return." Gideon was hiding. This morning, as we think about the story of Gideon, we think about facing our own doubts. It's easy for us to hide. We may not have an oppressor like the Midianites who's coming in and stealing our financial means, who's not holding us captive with the threat of constant raids and oppression, but we can hide emotionally and spiritually too. We can be fearful. We can be cowardly, thinking about what can God really do with us. We can not acknowledge our own doubts, our own fears. And this morning, I want us to think about facing our own doubts. Coming out of hiding, if you will. Realizing that we need to understand that we can be like Gideon, just threshing grain in a wine press, hiding spiritually in our lives. Just denying that we really need to face the facts of what is our relationship with God. Where is my faith? We kind of hide from the busyness of life, and we hide with the activity and the hustle bustle of life. But we need to come out and think, where am I really spiritually? Where is my faith? What are my doubts? What do I believe God can do with me? What do I not believe God is trying to do with me? And so we need to think about our own hiding. Notice, when we think about Gideon's doubts, we understand some of our own doubts. Notice in the first place that Gideon doubted the Lord's presence. He said, after the Lord said in verse 12 through the voice of the angel, "The Lord is with you." Gideon said in verse 13, "Please, sir," in other words, I beg to disagree, sir. "But if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" Gideon apparently at this time did not fully understand this was an angelic being. He said, "I got a complaint here. If the Lord is really with us, then why am I going through all this? I don't know where you're sitting at, but where I'm sitting," says Gideon, "it doesn't seem like the Lord is here. This is not the way I think it is if God is with you. If God is with us, then I think we are the one who has the blessings. We're the ones who have financial and emotional and political stability and security. We're not the ones who are being raided and losing all of our stuff and are being oppressed by an outside invader. Is the Lord really with us?" That's the same doubt that Moses had. He doubted whether the Lord's presence was with him. And he said, when he talked about going into the wilderness in Exodus 33, he says, "I will not go if your presence will not go with us." It is the same doubt the disciples had. When the apostles were hearing Jesus talk in the upper room and on the way to Gethsemane and to the cross about he was going to depart, And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. They were fearing he was leaving them. And of course, Jesus will say in that famous verse, John 14, verse 6, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. The apostles were fearing God, Lord, you're not going to be with us. In fact, if you go to Matthew 28, verse 20, the Great Commission, Jesus is about to ascend. He's about to leave and go back to his Father. And the apostles are worried. Are you still going to be with us? And Jesus says in verse 20, and lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. The apostles were worried. Would Jesus still be with us? Have you ever felt like, have you ever wondered, is God really with me? I mean, you believe in the existence of God. I'm not saying you're doubting the existence of God, but have you doubted whether God is with you? You know, on your team, that he is blessing you? Or do you look around at all the bad things going on in your life, kind of like the Midian oppressors, and you're saying, all these things are going wrong. If all these things are going wrong, then is God really with me? Doubting the Lord's presence. But notice, Gideon also, verse 13, doubted the Lord's deeds. Where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of the Midianites. Gideon had a what have you done lately for me theology. He believed God had done these deeds in the past, but what was God doing for us now? He also had, it seems, a theology that we're going to find out later on. He had a belief of the idea of, I want to see some signs. What has my experience been lately with God? We live in a world where experience matters a lot, doesn't it? How does it make you feel? How are you feeling about your relationship? How are you feeling about your work? How are you feeling about a class you're in? How are you feeling about, we talk about our feelings. And then we apply that to our faith too. Well, how are you feeling about your relationship with God? Because it should be an emotional feeling. We should have a love and an emotion with God. So we talk about how are you feeling. Gideon is very clear. I'm not feeling very good. God has not done anything for me lately. You see where I am? I'm in a wine press. This is the grain I got. I'm trying to protect it from those invaders coming in. They are not God's people. They are God's enemies, and yet they're oppressing me. I'm God's people. Not feeling very good. I've read all those Bible stories about all the things he did to my fathers, but guess what? Those fathers are dead, and I'm living right now. What has God done for me? That's Gideon. He's doubting the Lord's deeds, and he's wanting to test God. And we get into this today, and it's very dangerous for people to want to see a visible sign. And Gideon is going to be given some signs, we'll study later. Sign of the fleece, where God is going to actually allow Gideon to test him. But I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is talking and dealing with Satan. And he's talking about testing him and about testing the Lord. And in verse number 5, the devil takes him up to the holy city, to the pinnacle of the temple, and said, if you throw yourself off this, the angels will come, they'll swoop in and save you, and it will be like a dramatic sign to show the people that you're the Son of God. And it will be a way of proving this to everybody. It's a test. And notice what Jesus says. Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Gideon is saying, what have you done for me lately? It's not our place to put God to the test. To say, God, because those are subjective, emotional experiences. They are often given to our just kind of the natural events of life. Someone say, well, I was on my last thoughts and doubting God, and I walked outside and I said, God, show me a sign. And I looked up and there was a falling star going across the sky. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this kind of idea of you're testing God. God, if you will do this for me financially, relationship-wise, health-wise, then I'll trust in you. Brethren, we can fall into that. But we got to be careful of that. It's not what God wants. That's where Gideon is. He's doubting because he hasn't seen the Lord's deeds. It's not for us to put a test or to demand visible physical signs. We'll talk about that more and give some answers on that later. But notice, he doubted the Lord's purpose in verses 14 through 18. So the angel says, you're going to save them. And it's like, you know, who? Me? I'm threshing wheat. I'm the weakest in my clan. I am not the man. Now, we've heard this before, hadn't we? Exodus chapter 3, God comes to Moses, says, you're the man. You're going to lead the children of Israel out of captivity. Moses says, wait a minute. I'm not your man. It's common for people of God to say, I'm not capable of doing that. Brethren, when you believe you're not capable of doing something, that's right where God wants you. Because that means His power can be made strong through your weakness. That means He can do it through your weakness. You see, then He has you humble. He has you ready to be molded so that then He can get the glory. It's not about Gideon's strength. It's not about what he can do, but it's about what God can do. And if you remember in our story, Gideon will have an army of 22,000, and God says, no, that's too many. Because if we do it with 22,000, they're going to say it's been done by the human element of the army and by Gideon. So he takes it all the way down to 300. And with 300 men, Gideon defeats the Midianites. Because it's not about the man. It's about the power that is inspiring the man. Gideon doubts the Lord's purpose. Like Moses, he felt inadequate and unworthy. We need to be reminded that many times we're going to feel like, what is the purpose God has for me? God, do you really have a purpose for me? Why am I here? We can feel the vanity of life, the emptiness of life. And we think, God, do you really have a reason for me being here and going through what I'm going through and doing what I'm doing? What's the purpose? Gideon doubts the Lord's presence. He doubts the Lord's deeds. And he doubts the Lord's purpose. But let me notice is that doubts don't just go away. The angel's going to reassure him in chapter 6. Angel's going to do a miracle and consume the offering. And Gideon is going to understand that it was an angel. He builds an altar to the Lord. He even goes in a courageous act and destroys the altar of Baal. But doubts still linger. And so at the end of chapter 6, verse 36 through 40, Gideon said, God, I need to see a sign. My doubts are still there. And God, because of His purpose in Gideon, allows him and in a miraculous way, gives him a sign with a fleece. One night making the fleece wet, ground dry. The next night making the fleece dry and the ground wet. to show and prove to Gideon that God was working through him. His doubts lingered. In fact, they continued to linger. Even after he had the army down to 300 men, God says, I know you're fearful, paraphrasing here. I know you're worried, so sneak down into the camp and listen to what the Midianites are saying. And he heard about a dream in the Midianite camp and about how they were talking about how they were going to be destroyed by the Israelites. And Gideon is encouraged to go into battle then. Here's the point for our thought. Is that when you have doubts and you feel like you overcome them, don't think that you bury them. As we go through life, doubts tend to fall away and then rise back up. Fall away and rise back up. And it's a constant struggle. We never fully overcome our doubts. They are something that Satan is constantly kind of bringing up and wanting to use us, wanting to use them to pull us away from Christ. The battle is not over just when you overcome your doubts in a temporary period. Your doubts are going to change maybe a little bit. Your doubts may even have a different name, or your struggles may have a different name, but they're going to still be there as you age and as life has its various challenges. Doubts linger. They linger. And we need reassurance as we go through life. And so I want to give you three things to face our doubts. How do we face these doubts? Well, first of all, remember that we are in good company when we doubt. You're in good company when you doubt. So many biblical heroes had doubt. So many biblical heroes are going to fall short in many ways. I've already mentioned Moses and his doubts. We've studied Gideon and his doubts. Remember the Apostle Peter and the doubts that he will have, even denying Christ. We're in good company. Gideon is going to struggle off the start mightily. He even have some problems at the end. But notice he is listed in Hebrews 11:32 when it talks about that Hall of Fame chapter of faith. His faith overcame his doubts. In Luke 17, Jesus is talking, and the apostles are talking to Christ, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry seed, this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. The apostles who were witnessing all these miraculous signs, hearing all this wonderful teaching, living with the Lord, they said this, increase our faith. In Mark chapter 9, there's an important story about a man who had a boy who had an unclean spirit. And this unclean spirit would seize him, and he would foam and he'd grind his teeth and he would become stiff, and he would even throw him into fire and water trying to destroy him. And he brings this boy to Jesus, and Jesus asks him, verse 21, how long this has been happening. And he tells him it's been happening since his childhood. And the man says, if you can do anything, verse 22, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. Now I really want you to focus on verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. We live with the apostles. We live with this man right here. Increase our faith. Help our unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. I like to think about faith and doubt on a continuum. If I were to put on one side faith and on the other side doubt. In all of our lives, I believe, until we reach our heavenly home in faith becomes a ultimate reality. Faith becomes sight, because right now we walk by faith and not by sight. There exists on this continuum this struggle. And we have doubt and we have faith. And in our lives, there's going to be times where we're going to be moving up and down that continuum. And our main goal as a Christian is never to allow doubt to overcome and take over our faith. God understands, I believe, that we're always going to be struggling. That as we live our Christian life, there's going to be a measure, a small part of our life that's going to have doubt in it. And at times that's going to grow, and we're going to have to overcome that, and we're going to have to struggle with that. It's not that we're never, I don't believe anybody doesn't have any doubts. They don't doubt themselves. They don't say, you know, Lord, are you really with me? Lord, is your presence here? Lord, where's your deeds lately? Where have you blessed me lately? Lord, do you have any purpose for me? We're all going to go through times where we're going to struggle with that. When it becomes wrong, and what I don't want anybody to do is get to the point where you say, doubt has become so strong, I'm giving up faith. You see, because faith is the victory. Faith is what causes us to persevere. So we're like that man. We say, Lord, I believe. I have faith. I have faith. Help. Help this part of unbelief. This part of unbelief I have, help me to overcome it. And so what I'm saying to you this morning is, you may be hiding this part of unbelief, this part of doubt that you've been facing in your life. You may be like Gideon, and you need to come out and realize, you know what, I've had those doubts. I need to face those doubts. And I need to pray, and I need to work to overcome them. Because if you just allow them to grow and just to kind of stay there, Satan can bring things into your life. He can bring hard times in your life. He can bring things in your life that will cause them to grow and develop and become bigger if you don't face them. If you're not honest with them, you're in good company when you doubt. It's not about the cessation, the total getting rid of doubt. But it's about making sure our faith always overcomes our doubts. There's going to be a lot of things we won't know. There's going to be things we're going to wonder about. But we trust in faith. We walk by faith. Number two, turn to the Lord in prayer. When you face your doubts, like Gideon, Gideon is going to talk to the Lord. He spends this time talking to the Lord, this angel, and he worships him and is going to offer the sacrifice to him. But I want you to notice that after that time of this discussion with the angel, the Lord said to him in verse 23, "Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 8 speaks of the same idea, that when we have anxiety, when we have doubts, when we're struggling, cast all our cares, all our burdens upon Him. And when we do that in prayer, we'll find out just what Gideon found. We'll find peace. The Lord is peace. God is a God that desires our honesty. He desires us to tell Him what is on our hearts and our minds. And that involves our doubts. That involves our frustrations. That involves our wonderings, our struggles. And if you're doubting, face it. If you're struggling with the Lord's purpose, the Lord's deeds, and the Lord's presence. Now, I'm not saying make it into a test, but what I am saying is pray about that and give it to the Lord. Prayer is one of the most powerful things to strengthen our faith. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus gives a couple parables. We're not going to study those parables, but I do want to notice the opening line of verse 18. Chapter 18, the opening line in verse 1. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always, now listen to this, they ought always to pray and not lose heart. If you're losing heart, you know, it's kind of like on the video games the kids play, you know, when your life is here and you keep getting hit with the weapons and it's, you see that your life, you're going down. And you know that if you don't get some energy, you're going to die because you're taking so many blows. And your heart, your meter is going low and you're about to die. Of course, in the video games, you get a new life or something later. But here's the thing. If your spiritual heart is getting low and you just feel that gauge going down because you're taking so many blows from the enemy, Jesus says, you need to pray. He says, pray so you do not lose heart. Pray. Turn to the Lord in prayer. And then, number three, turn to the Lord's Word. Gideon obviously lived in a different dispensation. He lived in a different time period than we live. When God spoke to them directly during the time of the judges here with an angel coming, he did not have the revealed word as you and I do in Scripture. But God speaks to us today through His Word. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to increase your faith, you got to study the Bible. You got to read the Bible. What's amazing is that if you're facing a doubt or a struggle or a problem in your life, and you read the Bible, it's amazing how the Bible is going to speak to that issue. And you'll notice a verse that you've maybe read 10, 15, 20 times before, but it will speak to that issue because you're thinking about it, you're dwelling on it, and God is bringing that to your heart. You see, you've got to study. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, it speaks of that same issue about how God will use the Word. He says in verse 12 of chapter 4, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow. And listen to this. It will discern the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The Bible will reveal your heart. It will, as it says in verse 13, it will cause you to understand that no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him of whom we must give an account. You can't hide your doubts if you're reading the Word. God will expose them. I want to look at the last passage of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6. He says, keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for I have said, or He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Brethren, it's not our place to try to put the Lord to an emotional feeling test, to a visible sign test. The Lord has promised us. Remember Matthew 28:20, lo, I'm with you always. Here in Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Our challenge is not to allow our doubts to overcome us, but to allow our faith to overcome our doubts. To trust when we go through these struggles that the Lord said we'll go through. When we go through problems and pain and suffering and rejection and struggles with our faith because of others, remember that God has promised us these things are going to happen. We're going to have struggles. Our job is to endure, to hold on. God loves us. He made you. His Son died for you. He gave you His Word. He is with you. We're reminded of those things when we read the Bible. We're reminded of the purpose He has for us. Reminded of the plan He has for us. Reminded of the presence He has for us. And we realize that it's not about a visible sign or a emotional feeling or a blessing in the moment. But it's about God's overall love and providence and care. And we say, Lord, I may not understand, but I trust in You. I trust in You. This morning, I hope you'll be honest with your doubts. And I hope that you'll be like Gideon. And you'll rise to the occasion of being able to do great things for the Lord, even though you may be struggling now. This morning, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you want to rededicate your life and come back to the Lord, then please come as together we stand and as we sing.